Welcome to the Discovering Your Future podcast, hosted by Jarvis and Lucy from FCC's audio production program. In this podcast, we interview professionals to scope how they navigated their career. Through listening, you will pick up tips about developing professional networks, learn ways to manage your career, and discover pathways to finding purpose in life. It's never too early to begin planning your career path, and it's never too late to make a change. So please, kick back and listen in.
Hello there. Welcome back to the first episode of Season 2 for the Discovering Your Future podcast. In today's episode, we have a wonderful guest. She's a best-selling author, a former FCC student, and a leadership coach. A SHRM-certified human resources professional, she works at one of the largest mental health nonprofits in the nation, Katie Sugars.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. Yeah, it's great to be back for this podcast.
Yeah, and by the way, just to introduce ourselves, in case you don't know us, I'm Jarvis Kane.
I'm Lucy Cavanaugh.
And we're bringing you Discovering Your Future podcast once again.
Mm-hmm. All right, so why don't we get started? Katie, why don't you tell us a little bit about your career journey? Where do you think it all started for you, and how did you end up where you are now?
Sure. So I've had a pretty non-traditional career journey. Started out with a lot of interest in the criminal justice field, and really had an inspiration because of my parents' business that they owned at the time. So they were bail bondsmen, and so I was just really interested in helping people and seeing how they made an influence in the community. So that really started my criminal justice interest in about middle school. So when I got to high school, I realized that I wanted to get into the criminal justice field, get some internships, get some experience to really get an understanding of what I wanted to do. So I took an opportunity to do 2 internships during high school and then continued those through college and ended up getting a bachelor's degree as well as an associate's degree in criminal justice. So my path was pretty straightforward starting out, and then it very quickly transitioned and the pandemic hit. So once I had graduated with a degree, I needed a job, and so I was really kind of open to anything at the time. Started as, you know, an administrative assistant, and then worked my way into HR that way. So right now, as a human resources professional, did not start in human resources or with an interest in human resources. So grateful to be where I am today, and definitely feel like I'm operating and working in alignment with really who I am as a person.
That's really great. You know, I love to hear your story, and I think a lot of students will, because personally, it's great to hear that, you know, even though at first it might have been linear in one fashion, and, you know, you were kind of moving towards the justice system, but then you ended up somewhere completely different. I think that's important for a lot of students to know, because some of them might get their degree and then something comes up. In your instance, it was the pandemic, and they might be like, well, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I got this degree, like, where am I supposed to go? And to hear that they can go somewhere else than what they have the degree for is really great for students to hear. It's great for me to hear, personally.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's having that openness to really just learning new skills. I had no idea what human resources had to offer until I got into it. And so just kind of opening yourself up to opportunities as they present themselves is really important, even though it may not be exactly what you thought you'd be doing.
Right, yeah. Awesome.
It's important that to network, and that's like a big part of, you know, everybody's journey, not only through the school system, but also through your career field, and they coincide. Happening to know some of your experience and how life went for you, we just want to know, like, could you provide some examples of networking in your career, especially those that show how your path builds upon itself, or how you seize the opportunity, or, you know, just those big moments in your life when networking played a big factor.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, you can harken back to what you're talking about, you know, like learning new skills, like just being open to those things, and, you know, maybe how networking can play into that.
Absolutely. I think it's so important to just be rooted and planted where you're at. So if you're on campus, making sure that you're connecting and networking with professors and also your peers. I think in addition to that, if you're in a work environment, even if it's not something you see yourself doing long term, continue to network in those environments as well. You know, reach out and have conversations with your supervisors, with your peers, and even with customers if that's necessary. Because you never know who you're going to come in contact with. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I have learned and kind of wish I did a little bit better at is being rooted in the environment that I'm in and really taking advantage of networking with those people. You really have no idea the people that other people know. And so it really is building a network and building a community and being rooted in that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned before that you had a professor that that actually gave you some motivation and became like kind of like a lifetime connection for you. You want to go more in depth about that? I believe it was Mr. or Professor, I can't remember. I don't want to mispronounce.
Dr. Powell.
Dr. Powell, yep. Yeah. How did that connection kind of turn into like a professional relation or, you know, a professional stance or a professional guidance?
So I had, again, in the criminal justice field, really just taking, obviously, the criminal justice classes that were required here at FCC. And when I had Dr. Powell, he did a law class, basically, where we were really having to dive deep into different criminal charges and being able to basically articulate those and essentially kind of a prerequisite to kind of like a law school course. And so in that course, he saw that I had a gift for explaining law and going through the process of analytical thinking. And so when he had heard that I wasn't going to go get my bachelor's degree, he was like, what are you doing? So he really pulled me aside one day and he had said, you really do have a gift. And I really think that you would be selling yourself short if you didn't at least get a bachelor's degree. And in that moment, I didn't see the path long term. And so he saw something in me that I didn't see. And so he really did set me up for success. And I really wouldn't be in the position that I'm in without getting that bachelor's degree. A lot of times, you know, just the degree itself, no matter what it's in, opens so many opportunities for you. And so if you don't take advantage of getting higher education or secondary education, it really does limit sometimes the doors that open for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was something that I wanted to ask, kind of, you know, what you kind of thought of traditional education and how your degrees have helped you to get where you are today. And you summed it up right there. I mean, it's unfortunate that, that, you know, some careers are like that, where, you know, people who have worked in it for such a long time and are looking to move on, like to a higher position or just like
career elevation.
Yeah. Look, or even just like
promotion.
Yeah, exactly. Or looking to break into the field, you know, that degree, that those years of education and that, like, just like that plaque or that piece of paper, whatever it may be, is so important when it comes to getting a career. And that's not to say you can't do it without it, but, you know, as you were saying, it helped you a lot get to where you are today.
Absolutely. It's so important. I think it's really critical when you have people in your life that can see the skill sets and the strengths that you bring to the table and to not take those opportunities for granted. So again, those relationships, the networking, but also that education piece and really just knowing that it does open so many doors for you and does allow you to really get rooted into other communities.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Piggyback off of kind of like some of the things you mentioned analytical thinking, and that's such a, like, it's a vague term, but I think it's a specific skill set. You know, I was wondering if there's any other specific skill sets or any type of like specific learning or development that led you into your career besides analytical thinking, or, you know, what are some skills that a student or anybody can sharpen to help get them to where they're going?
I think the easiest way to answer that is to just get experience. Just put yourself out there. A lot of times, again, you don't know the gifts or the strengths that you have until you actually open the box. And so for me, not knowing what the HR field had to offer, I had no idea, you know, about those opportunities until I actually stepped out and took those opportunities to learn. So I would just encourage people to look at the experiences that they can have and really just kind of step out in faith and kind of take those and learn while you're doing it.
Yeah, and didn't you say that like you got a promotion or you couldn't get a position because you didn't have a bachelor's degree?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of positions that I look at and have looked at in the past, you know, require a bachelor's degree, or at least that's preferred. And so even though it may not be a requirement for a position, you know, just alone having a degree can set yourself apart from other candidates. So I think even though, you know, again, degrees may not be required, it's definitely gives you kind of a leg up on other people and allows you an opportunity to showcase the drive that you have to continue your education and to be a lifelong learner.
Oh, yeah. So I point that out to all students at FCC and beyond, that experience and obtaining higher education are two big factors for hiring any employer or even just life in general. I mean, I think she summed it up in many other ways besides just her position in HR and her life coaching and everything. But I just want to point that out specifically because a lot of people, you know, think it's a black or white system, you know, like, do I start this business and forget school, or do I go to school for 10 years and before I get a leg into like internships or work opportunities? There's definitely a balance in the middle. You know, you like you get your higher education, you start internships, you lead your path into just better opportunities, let alone the fact that you can go into different career fields and choose your purpose how you see fit, you know?
Yeah.
It all helps out at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah, so I think an important thing you said there was kind of like balance, and, you know, things aren't so black and white. And I think kind of on that topic of balance, so you're an author and you play the drums in your free time. So how do you maintain that work-life balance?
It's definitely not an easy thing. It definitely takes intentional effort to carve out time for those things. You know, I don't play the drums as much as I'd want to. And again, I'm just kind of self-taught and do it for fun. But it's so good to have an outlet where you don't have to take it so seriously. Like, life is so serious and education is so serious. So it's nice when you get an opportunity to just unplug and just do something for fun. You don't have to be the best at it, but you just do it. And kind of the same thing with being an author. You know, that was something, I had a passion for writing, and, you know, I always joke around with people, I don't really like to read, but I'm an author. So the thing is with that, you know, just having a gift of writing and reflecting was really a motivation for me. And so just making time and intentional time and carving that out to strengthen these skills that I had and utilizing my gifts was really, really important for me and really has gotten me to where I am today.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Work-life balance. That, mm-hmm. And like at the end of the day, like you kind of mentioned, you know, it's being serious. Like, you know, work and life is serious. You know, I mean, I do think there's always like a crack of light beam coming down mm-hmm. through life. You know, like you just have those moments where it's like, oh, this is the cool, this is dope. But in reality, it takes really hard work, a lot of dedication, and at the end of the day, it may even take some good bad day. You know, some complex where it's like you'll be working hard one day, be tired and for the next day, but it may be a good day at the end of the day, but right. The morning might be a little trash or whatever. Having things outside of just life and work and mm-hmm. school or whatever to fulfill that happiness, fill that void of like, you know, how serious life is, give you something to do, you know? And it also, you mentioned that you don't like to read, but you like to write. I mean, I think that's like a simple little concept where it's like some people are really good at producing and some people are really good at consuming. Mm-hmm. And it's everybody's preference. You know, everybody has their own preference on what they like to do. But the fact that you know how to produce, I think that's a specific gift to be able to produce such an accomplishment as a book, a best-selling book at that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's that best-selling author is like a big flex, I would say.
Yeah, right.
Flex, I would say.
Yeah, right.
I think it really also comes down to the things that you value. And when we really think about the things that we value, that's really how we're making decisions and our actions. So if you value your work or if you value school a lot, that's probably what you're going to spend most of your attention and time on. And so I think what it comes down to is really thinking about life in general and what are the values that you have outside of what you do for a job or outside of work or, you know, outside of being a student. Whatever it is that you value, that's probably what's going to, you know, be the driving force behind your decisions and your actions. And so when it comes to work-life balance, I think it's so important to really understand what it is that you value. And, you know, there's resources out there that you can Google to look at your values and find those out. And again, that really does help you determine who you are as an individual and really allows you that opportunity to be intentional about that time that you need to live your life outside of work and to also have that balance of being able to get to work and to be serious.
Yeah, I feel like I couldn't agree more with, you know, just kind of what you said there, like your values and like finding the time and like how it takes time to find the time. I'm in the same like, I guess, school of thought as you where, you know, I don't really like reading. It's really difficult for me. I've gotten slightly better at it. But you know, I love to write. Personally with me, it's fiction. I believe your book is nonfiction. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's about my life.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. But you know, it's just like finding that time and getting to that place where you can, like in my case, you know, just be able to write. Like it really is, you know, based off your values, and it really is just like something that you need to, I wouldn't say escape work or escape school, but like it's almost draining not to have something like that. I mean, personally, I find it really difficult to like imagine a life without like the music that I play and listen to or without the writing that I create and like, you know, think of all the time.
It's, absolutely.
Yeah.
And those things help us recharge our batteries. And it's kind of crazy because I was just thinking about this analogy this morning is the batteries that we recharge are used for our benefit and used for also other people's benefit. So when we are charged and when we are filled up, we are going to perform our best at work and to be our best as a student. And so I think it's so important that we recharge our batteries. And the thing is if we don't recharge them and we let them die, it's not only going to affect our lives, you know, work and school and life, but also the people around us. So it's so important to really be able to know what your values are and make sure that you're making intentional time to recharge your battery and to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of putting it. I'm not sure if I could have said it better myself. I mean, that really was beautifully said in terms of like, you know, not only does having, like, you know, having your batteries charged, as you said, or like having that work-life balance, you know, improve your life and fill it with a little more than just work and school, but it affects, like, you know, your teachers, your family, your, you know, the people you work with. It's just so much more enjoyable to be around someone who has that recharged battery versus someone who's like, oh, I've worked all day and I'm going to work all day tomorrow. And it's just like, it's really refreshing to have someone who takes that time to do their things. And then when they come back to either work with you or if that's you yourself, like, you know, it's just, they're refreshed. It's, I don't want to say luxury, but you know, not everyone does that. And it's really nice to have that.
Absolutely. And I think, again, that's really why it's important to understand your values, because even if you don't like your job or don't like the classes you're taking, really understanding who you are as an individual and what it is that you can learn and contribute in that setting is super important. So I think if I can encourage anyone to do anything, it's really think about your values, because it really can change the way that you live and work and really everything else.
Yeah. So, I mean, speaking of values, how, you know, you've been talking about how they affect your life, but how specifically do they affect your work, like what you create or, you know, what you want to create? Does it
do, or even vice versa, you know, like how does maybe some of your goals get affected by your work and mm-hmm. purpose of life at this point in your life? What is the connection between your work life and then what you value? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So I think it's so important, regardless of what kind of goals that you set for yourself, so especially in the work environment. So the goals that I have for myself, I want to make sure that they are in alignment with my values, as well as my strengths, because that is ultimately going to get me to where I want to go. And so when we, again, we've been using the word values a lot, but when you really, really understand what you bring to the table and the values that you have, it really is that driving force or that gas pedal to everything that you do. And so for me personally, I feel like understanding my values and really solidifying those and being able to look at them and remind myself of who I am and what it is that I cherish, those things help me make those decisions and set those goals for myself. So specifically, I actually did a mentoring program and I'm currently in a mentoring program here in Frederick called Women to Women Mentoring. And we did an exercise to find our values. And it wasn't a shock to me to actually see those values, but it was a solid foundation for me to look at and be like, okay, these are the words or these are the things that I, this is how I live my life. And so I ended up with my five values, which include faith, leadership, appreciation, relationships, and personal development. And just kind of as you were saying, with the things that I do, how does it relate to values? Well, you know, being an author, that really was a big part of faith and personal development. I was on my own personal development journey, and because that's something I valued, I really wanted to help other people change their lives. So, you know, obviously my book being called Living My Better Life, it is about my life, but I was really, really hoping and, you know, really encouraged by my own story that I wanted to help other people see ways that they can live their better life. So the decision I made to be an author wasn't just to be an author, but to have that connected with my values. And so everything that I do, I try to make sure that I'm looking back to my values and making sure that everything is in alignment.
Yeah, that's a, I never really thought about it like that. You know, having your goals reflect your values or align with your values and your strengths, because having goals that don't align with your values, that's, you know, it's just going to have you conflicted inside. Like, you're not going to be able to achieve those goals unless you abandon your values. So that's really powerful. Yeah.
I've noticed that a lot of people live like that. I know I've experienced in the Navy, and I've worked with people my age all the way to like 40, people in between, you know, like people will have kids, 10 kids, you know, families, right, overseas, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've come to realize that a lot of people don't align what they do on a daily with their values. And they constantly butt heads because, once again, you're not aligning everything up. You mentioned women-to-women mentorship. Was that something that they offer? Isn't there like an office on campus or something like that?
Yeah, I do believe that they have an office here on campus. They are a nonprofit, and so they help women get connected and networked in the community. So I think it's right now, if you're under 35 years old, you would be considered a mentee. And if you're older than 35, you would be a mentor. And they essentially interview you to get your values and kind of get an idea of what you want to do or where you want to go. And they basically connect you with someone who has kind of the same idea or same experiences. And so they really do help kind of motivate and move you forward towards the things that you want to work towards. And so again, really the networking is again huge, and making sure that you understand who you are as a person. And there are resources out there that can help you with that.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, some people may not understand themselves that well. And it's like, I've come to realize that it takes a journey to understand yourself. So like, kind of getting that interview process to see what their values are, I think even helps them understand themselves, because they may not even understand that they, you know, might maybe in school for, you know, criminal justice, but they're super artistic and love music, and they spend so much time outside of school doing music. When you can align the schooling with the music, you can be in music education, you can be in a music major, you can do audio production like me and Lucy do.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Like, even at the level of going to class with people that have similar values makes a huge difference. I mean, you could be in criminal justice class, and what are the odds that you're going to meet somebody that loves music? You know what I mean? Like, it's right, kind of, you know, rare. Like, it's not the most likely situation. But if you love music and you do music major stuff and your values align with music, then you're probably going to find similar people to network or like be friends with in music classes. You know what I mean? I think students and all of us need to invest more time into aligning our values with our everyday life, you know, including work, school, whatever we can. Not to say that money is not important and, like, you may need something to develop capital for this or, you know, something that more stable or whatever. But believe it or not, I think everything works out when you live, when you're living in alignment with your values.
Yeah.
You know, like, opportunities come out of nowhere. It's going to be hard to find a music opportunity in a criminal justice career path.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not to say that it wouldn't be valuable, but it may be difficult. So, yeah, I think trying your best to identify your values and then live in line with them, live in alignment with them, are super important. And I don't know, I think we definitely kind of went on this segment a little long, but, like, I just genuinely want the guidance for the students and for anybody that may not truly understand how to make that connection, you know?
Yeah.
And if I could only mention just one more quick thing about that, I think kind of connecting networking with the mentoring. Networking can sometimes be surface level, and so mentoring allows you to go more to a deeper level. And I think that's so important. You know, networking is valuable, but also being mentored is also really important to discovering kind of those deeper values and that deeper sense of purpose.
Yeah, I would completely agree.
You mentioned mentors. Do you distinguish a difference between mentorship and networking?
I do. I think it's super important. And I think it's kind of what I was just saying, that sometimes networking is more surface level and is more focused on kind of like mutual connection, you know, mutual interests. And so sometimes it's a quick, hey, I know someone, here's their information. And so I do think that networking sometimes can be more surface level, while that mentorship is more intimate, more detailed about, you know, your choices and your decisions and where you're going and who you are as a person. So I think it's really important to network, but I think it's even more important to at least have one mentor in your life through almost every season you go through, because a mentor is going to be someone who has experience and has lived through whatever it is that you're interested in. And so they're going to be coming alongside you and really kind of walking with you through that. And again, networking maybe doesn't do so much of that. And sometimes networking relationships, you know, can turn into mentorships, but there is a difference.
I actually have a great example that kind of is in line with that. So I think a big thing that mentors can do that networking can't is inspire. Because I have this mentor actually here at the campus, and, you know, I'm a student of theirs, but, you know, just they're so wise, they've had so much experience, they have so much knowledge, and just to hear them say, like, the things that they say, or, like, how they explain something, or how they try and help me, it's just, like, it opens my world and inspires me, it makes me excited, it makes me want to learn more, it makes me want to, like, go down this path and, like, never stop, because they're such a great person. Like, I almost want to, like, build some of my foundation off of what I learned from them, or, like, how I perceive them. And I don't think that, I mean, personally, I don't think networking can really do that. I mean, it's not to say that networking can't inspire and can't give you, like, ideas of how to build your foundation, but I just think there are very distinct differences when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's almost like a step one. It's like a icebreaker. You can break the ice with different people, but really creating, like, a connection is a whole different, you know. And then you also have to be willing to receive, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of networking comes with, like, a lot of, like, telling what you got going on and hopes of impressing people. Because at the end of the day, I think it is important to build a resume of, like, even a mental resume where it's, like, you can pop out with things that are, you know, off the top of your head, accomplishments that may give you a boost in people's, in your credibility, you know, like pathos. But breaking the ice is different from, like, okay, you know what I've accomplished, what can you help me accomplish? You know, you're accepting, you're receiving the guidance that really takes you to the next level. I like how you said mentorship through seasons. I think that's a big one. Some people think that it's like a lifelong thing, and not to say it's not a lifelong relationship or connection, but, like, through life, you know, you're going to go through temporary seasons of, like, accomplishments. Like, you may work on a project for 8 months. You may get your degree for 2 years. You may do higher level education 5 years later after a 5 year experience in a job field. All those different steps may require a mentor and a different mentor at that. You never know. And it comes with that icebreaker of networking and then going to the next step. But if you just break the ice with 50 people every single day, I mean, what are you really receiving at the end of the day? You're probably just giving your accomplishments. You're hoping that they, you know, are cool with you from that, and then you're kind of moving on to the next. You know, it's not going to really build anything.
Yeah, and there was something that we talked about before with mentors, and I think this is an important thing to at least, you know, touch on, but, like, you know, the gifts that they can give from their life, like, you know, that information that they have, or just, like, could you elaborate or, like, go a little deeper with that?
Absolutely. You know, I currently have a mentor right now that's helping me, and it is more on the professional side of things, which, you know, mentors can be for really any part of your life. But, you know, some of the things that my mentor has told me have really been so critical in the decision-making that I've made, and has really helped kind of give me support in a lot of the things that I'm currently going through. So I think really having a mentor is so important, because there is that aspect of them really coming alongside you and speaking life into you and really giving you opportunities to, again, see things maybe that you aren't seeing. And it does take a little bit of humility to have a mentor, right? And being able to admit that I don't know everything, and there's a lot out there that I don't know and that I need to learn. And so I think having a mentor, it practices humility, but it also allows you to dive deeper into who you are as a person and to get you to where you need to be.
Yeah. I think we've discussed a lot. We've gone over some really great things for the students here at FCC for them just to hear. So as we kind of come to an end here, is there any advice or any statements that you'd like to give to our listeners?
Absolutely. I always have a lot of thoughts about this one. I think so much of our lives, and we have actually discussed this before, is you hear from a very young age of what do you want to do when you grow up? And I think that's a message that we send to very young children, and we pretty much say that for the rest of their education. And even when you get to college, it's still, what do you want to do? Because what is your major, and what is it that you want to focus on? And I love one of my favorite authors and speakers, Paula Ferris. She wrote a children's book about this, and instead of saying, what do you want to do when you grow up, it's called, who do you want to be when you grow up? And I think that's super, super important. And again, as we kind of recap on everything we just talked about with values and strengths and mentorship, it's really, who do you want to be? And no matter what it is that you major in, you know, again, my career path was non-traditional. I started in criminal justice and ended up in, you know, HR. So a very different career field. So I guess my encouragement would be not to stress about your major and not to stress on figuring out what it is that you want to do, because sometimes you don't know what it is that you want to do until you actually do it. And so when you put yourself out there, I think, again, it's just every choice that you make and every decision you make is going to lead you to who you want to be. And I think that's the bigger question that the education system and just people in general should be asking themselves. Who is it that you want to be for your future self, or for a future spouse, or your children, or your grandchildren, or just your community? So I think really just focusing on who you are as an individual and being confident in that and how you can contribute to society.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. I think, you know, I mean, I'm not sure much more needs to be said. I mean, yeah, there you go. So final question here, are there any projects, personal or professional, or things that you're passionate about that you'd like to share with our audience?
So I am currently doing education to become a leadership coach, and ultimately have a vision to help individuals develop their leadership capabilities and really understand that every single person is a leader. So for me, that's kind of a big thing that I am currently working towards, is developing my own leadership coaching skill set so that I can help other people and hopefully can bring more people kind of on the journey with me and hopefully be a coach someday and helping people really see their potential. And would love to stay connected and or connect with new people about that.
Yeah, I think you're definitely on the coaching path for sure. I mean, you played sports, you did criminal justice. I mean, law is like kind of one of, like, we live by law at the end of the day.
Yep.
And then you're also doing HR. You're getting people opportunities. I mean, I think you would be a great coach. And well, I mean, you already do coach. That's the thing. I mean, everybody's a leader in your own words. I think you'll be able to help people find their potential, like, very heavily. Like, I even feel a little inspired as far
right,
as, like,
yeah.
just, like, being able to understand how who you want to be is more important than what you want to be. Because who you want to be actually applies to more people. Like, who do you want to be for, you said, your children, your family, your mother, your parents, your, you know, sisters and brothers and siblings, for the people, for the public, you know, for your community, whatever the case may be. What you want to be doesn't even really connect with all of those things. I mean, it can, but it's like, it can be very, if you ask yourself what enough times, you're going to make it vague yourself, you know?
Right, yeah.
And if you ask yourself who, you can start making self-identifying,
mm-hmm.
you can ask yourself self-identifying questions, or even prepare for self-identifying paths in your life. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Coaching. Who you want to be and being a life coach, I think those are the biggest takeaways from me today.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree that those are definitely some of the pivotal things to take away from this. So, you know, you're saying you want to connect with new people or create connections for down the road. Is there any way people can contact you?
Yeah, so the best way is probably LinkedIn. I have an active LinkedIn profile, so you can find me. It's Katie Sugars, and then I have my SHRM CP, so my HR certification attached to my name. So that's the best way to get connected to me. I do have my education from FCC on there, so you are able to see some of my experience. But happy to connect with people, answer any questions that anyone might have, provide any sort of networking resources or information about values. And I also have my book on Amazon if anybody's interested in that as well.
Could you say the title for our audience?
Sure. So it is called Living My Better Life. And then it's also kind of the subtitle is Finding Freedom and Healing. So you can also look up my name or the title for that.
Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. We really appreciated your time here.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me.
We hope this episode has inspired you and given you direction in your career. We appreciate your continued support. If you have any questions or topic proposals, feel free to leave them in the comments. Don't forget to visit the FCC Career Services website at www.frederick.edu/careers for helpful information on discovering your career.